Good morning. This is Guild Investment Podcast. This is Tim Sharada, Executive Vice President of Guild Investment Management. Today is August 3rd. Today on our program, we have Rudy Von Able, Senior Research Analyst. If you like what you heard, please hit the subscribe button below. Also, we have a website, www.guildinvestment.com, where you can receive email updates about global economics, various different stocks, cryptocurrencies, and much, much more. So please come visit the website, sign up, and you'll always receive weekly email updates from us. I'd like to introduce Rudy Von Able, Senior Research Analyst.
Thanks, Tim. Hey, everybody. We're talking about earnings this week. Quarterly earnings are in full swing, so investors are getting one of their regular views into the financial performance of a whole bunch of companies, the chance to hear some valuable comments from company management about the state of their businesses and the state of industries and the whole wider economy. At Guild here, we listen to a lot of company conference calls during this time, both for stocks that we own for our investment management clients and for various bellwether stocks that can give us useful information about the current economic and market environment. Usually, earnings season passes without really affecting the mainstream non-financial news, but Facebook broke that pattern this quarter when it reported results showing that its big ramp-up in spending on security could start to eat into margins in coming years. The Facebook disappointment echoed through the rest of the high-growth technology leaders and dampened the reaction to positive results from other tech companies like Alphabet, Amazon, and Apple. The tech leaders may be under pressure or lag for some time. New leadership may emerge, or tech may return to leadership as it has throughout the bull market of the past decade. Each week in our market summary, we try to keep you abreast of our views about those rotations. But aside from the news flow for specific companies, the big picture for U.S. earnings remains very strong. The NASDAQ 100, that's the index that includes the big tech growth titans, is down just 3% from its all-time highs as of this writing. The August-September period is here, which is often unpleasantly volatile for stocks. Domestic political worries remain present, and campaigning is ongoing for midterm elections in the fall. Foreign relations are as unpredictable as they have been for most of the past 2 years. In the face of all of this, it's important to keep an eye firmly fixed on the main driver of stock appreciation, which is corporate earnings growth. In that light, here are some points about the current earnings season. First off, the preliminary report for second quarter GDP growth last Friday was stellar, 4.1% on an annualized basis, a level that has rarely been hit in the post-recession period. We believe that a sustained improvement in trend GDP growth is possible in the midst of the chaos and disruption that has been the mark of much of the current administration and how it's been working. Policies to support growth are being put in place, and GDP growth is the fundamental driver of earnings growth. And second, although since Facebook disappointed, tech stocks have underperformed the broad market, we want to note that tech companies are outperforming on earnings. Excluding the benefits of tax reform, S&P tech sector earnings are up 23.8% year-on-year versus 15.5% year-on-year for the S&P and as a whole. Only energy and materials are showing better earnings growth. On the subject of taxes, we want to note that even when you strip out tax benefits, earnings growth is extremely strong. We emphasize this because there's been a common narrative that currently strong earnings growth is just a creature of tax reform, not a result of underlying strength in the economy or strength among businesses and consumers, and we disagree. We note further that tech is particularly strong in its underlying earnings growth. That is, reported earnings are only being helped modestly by tax reform. The earnings growth story is strong, and so are the surprises, that is, whether companies exceed the expectations that analysts have before earnings are announced. Almost 80% of companies that have reported thus far have beaten revenue estimates, and earnings, on average, are beating estimates by 4.8%. Economic growth is strong, and as second quarter earnings reports come in, revenues and earnings growth are also very strong. The earnings growth that companies are reporting is not just an artifact of tax reform. Even taking those benefits into account, it's very strong. The leadership of tech stocks has been clouded by Facebook's recent disappointing earnings, but tech earnings are, in fact, showing some of the greatest strength, and that with a relatively small contribution from tax reform. We continue to like the big tech leaders, and we welcome the opportunity to buy some of them at slightly lower valuations. We believe that it is likely that they will eventually return to leadership. We want to talk a little bit about growth versus value. Looking at the first couple of years of the period after the Great Recession, U.S. growth and value stocks tracked one another pretty closely. In 2014, they began to diverge, and in 2017, that divergence accelerated rapidly, and growth is strongly leading now. But with the faltering of the tech leaders recently after Facebook's earnings, does that tell us that a change may be coming? Does that suggest that growth stocks as a whole will falter and will yield their leadership to value? We don't know. We suspect not. But we prefer to look at stocks not in terms just of value or growth, but in terms of growth at a reasonable price, or GARP. Sometimes growth outperforms, but in our view, GARP always outperforms. Therefore, we're focused not on growth stocks in general or on value stocks in general, but on stocks with growth that are selling at reasonable earnings multiples compared to those of the broader market. That is, growth stocks selling at earnings multiples similar to lower growth companies or to companies with lumpy and unpredictable growth. Growth or value will take GARP, and stocks with GARP characteristics can be found across many sectors and industries. And here's a rundown of our summary of U.S. and global markets. As trade tensions have escalated during 2018, we've often told you that we would let you know if we believed the likelihood of a real trade war was becoming greater. And although a full-blown trade war hasn't broken out yet, we now believe the risk is getting higher. The greatest risk is with China. Mexico and Europe present a more hopeful prospect for near-term negotiations. As the conflict with China continues, it may contribute to market volatility during a period of typical seasonal weakness that we're in right now, and this particularly for U.S. exporters. It may also negatively affect U.S. manufacturers and retailers with domestic markets who will need to raise prices to compensate for increased costs. With that said, the U.S. economy is strong, and it strengthened in the second calendar quarter. U.S. GDP, unemployment, and wage data are all moving in a very positive direction. Corporate profits for the S&P 500 have risen in excess of 20%, including benefits from taxes, and are outstripping analyst estimates. Current and projected data suggest that U.S. economic growth will continue at a steady rate for the remainder of 2018 and well into 2019. Stocks should respond favorably to the positive economic and earnings news for the remainder of 2018 and into 2019, in spite of the fear and negativity that many are feeling about stocks and their outlook. Stock prices respond primarily to the profits of their companies, and those profits respond to growth in the company's markets and in the U.S. and world economies. As long as growth remains strong, stocks rise over the longer term. Short-term corrections and setbacks in stocks will occur, as they always have. While economic growth is maintained, stocks will generally move higher, so dips are creating opportunities for investors to buy. Bonds are rising in yield, and this trend is expected to continue, which is not good for bond prices, so we suggest bond holdings be limited to short maturities. Many fear an oncoming major market correction. We do not see one on the horizon at the present time. Major market corrections occur when events such as a major war, a banking crisis in a major country or region, Europe or China, for example, or other unpredicted event occurs, causing a contraction in economic growth and in U.S. or global earnings. It does not look like U.S. disputes with North Korea or Iran will erupt into a major war. In the banking arena, we're closely monitoring the current small problems in European and Chinese banking. We'll be aware if these problems grow to a level which could cause a contraction in world or U.S. economic growth, and we will let you know right away. A strong dollar is causing many commodities, currencies, and foreign stocks to be under pressure. Gold remains in a trading range and continues to be negatively affected by a higher and stronger dollar in spite of higher inflation and other fundamentals which would normally be bullish for gold. Gold is not alone. All commodities are under pressure from the strong dollar and will be under pressure as long as dollar strength continues. The euro, the pound, and the Chinese yuan have joined a huge cast of foreign currencies and are declining against the dollar. The purpose of engineering this decline is obviously to diminish the impact of U.S. tariffs on the economies in question. As long as the tariffs are an issue for our trading partners, they will work to cause their currencies to decline for competitive reasons. Positive note is that a strong dollar continues to attract money to U.S. stocks and bonds. U.S. bond interest rates are gradually rising, so we do not recommend anything more than short-term bonds for U.S. investors. Crypto's recent rally has stalled, and Bitcoin has fallen back to the mid-7,000s. As previously, cryptos seem to be trading with other risk assets. We reported last week in our regular issue covering digital currencies that a slew of crypto and blockchain-related patents seemed to be supporting the recent rally. Patent activity is one more signifier of technical development, as well as the ongoing integration of blockchain technology and cryptos into the financial mainstream. And in the longer term, these remain essentials for the evolution of cryptocurrencies as potential investments. Thanks for listening. We welcome your calls and questions. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please be sure to hit subscribe. You can find us on social media. And if you want to get a weekly market summary into your email inbox, please visit us at www.guildinvestment.com. Thanks.